Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2071, with a release date of Friday, July 7, 2017, follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A new FCC commissioner gets nominated. We follow the trail of a pilot recreating the Amelia Earhart flight. Lighthouses are in the spotlight. And in our top story, a jury convicts an Illinois man in the killing of a ham 2 years ago. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2071 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week's report with a courtroom conclusion to a gruesome case from 2 years ago, the killing of a ham radio operator in Illinois. There's been a verdict, and Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has details.
A jury has convicted a Rockford, Illinois man of killing an amateur radio operator and his dog 2 years ago, and then setting their house on fire. The verdict in the killing of Henry Murphy, WB9TFX, was announced June 30th, ending a case that began with the discovery of the bodies on July 18th, 2015. Prosecutors had said the killer, Delano L. Foreman, age 31, first robbed Henry Murphy, then shot both him and his golden retriever before setting three fires inside the Winnebago County home. Silent key Henry Murphy was also a veteran of the United States Army. Foreman's attorney has filed a defense motion for a new trial and is scheduled to reappear in court on August 16th, but will remain in the Winnebago County Jail without bond until that time. If the defense motion is denied, he will be sentenced immediately. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Meanwhile, the big news out of Washington is that there's a nominee to fill one of the vacancies on the Federal Communications Commission. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
The FCC General Counsel, Brendan Carr, is considered the next likely candidate to fill one of two empty spots on the commission. President Donald Trump has announced he will nominate the Republican, a move applauded by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai in a public statement that praised his record. The appointment, if confirmed by the Senate, would still leave one remaining vacancy to be filled, a seat reserved for a Democrat. No more than three members of the FCC are permitted to belong to the same political party. On June 14th, Trump named former Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel, a Democrat, to fill another vacant seat, and she too must be confirmed by the Senate. She would be returning to the commission following the expiration of her term last year. A third vacancy is being created by the departure of Commissioner Mignon Clyburn, another Democrat whose term has just expired. Brendan Carr is viewed as a major supporter of Ajit Pai's efforts to undo net neutrality rules that had been passed by the commission's Democratic majority. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
Coming off of its 150th anniversary festivities, Canada has something else to celebrate, a very special lighthouse on Prince Edward Island. And who better to mark the occasion than amateur radio operators? Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Built in 1845, the Point Prim Lighthouse was the first lighthouse on Prince Edward Island. And there's no doubt that the things it has seen in the last 172 years would give it a lot to say. Soon, it will be doing just that, talking to the world. The Prince Edward Island Amateur Radio Group will be activating the lighthouse on Saturday, July 15th, as part of the lighthouse's open house, marking its acquisition last year by the Point Prim Lighthouse Society. Radio operators will be calling CQ on all the HF bands right through the late afternoon hours of Sunday, July 16th. Modes will include SSB and PSK31. Hams who collect lighthouse QSOs will be happy to know that Point Prim has been assigned the code CAN809 by the Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society, which keeps track of the 15,000 lighthouses worldwide. Islands on the Air also declares PEI as NA029 in their list of islands around the world. Point Prim stands out among Canadian lighthouses as a brick structure with a distinctive round shape. It is, in fact, the only round brick lighthouse on Prince Edward Island. It is also one of the seven lighthouses on the island to be named on the National Heritage List. Now the lighthouse is about to distinguish itself with a reception featuring music, guest speakers, a barbecue, free tours, and amateur radio. That should establish it as quite a beacon. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3 TZD.
Speaking of lighthouses, it's almost time for Amateur Radio to celebrate the world's community of lighthouses and lightships, and the number of participating locations keeps growing. For that story, we welcome Amateur Radio Newsline's Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, who's joining us on the air with his first report.
Don't expect any certificates or prizes or other perks for contacts you may log next month during the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. The 20-year-old event is not a sprint, a contest, or even an emergency drill. It's a celebration of these time-honored navigational leads. This year, the lighthouse activations will take place on the weekend of August 19th and 20th. Lighthouse registrations were already at 240 and counting as of the first week in July, with Germany and Australia in the lead. Many other nations will be participating as usual, including South Africa, the U.S., Canada, Scotland, and Wales. There are also some new countries where hams can count on hearing CQ, including Serbia, where you can listen for Alex, Yankee Uniform 1 Charlie Alpha, operating near the banks of the Danube River at the Tamas River West Lighthouse. What it comes down to is an event that's part fellowship, part public relations. The activations are designed to be visible to visitors who can stop by and see the hams in action. In a way, that's keeping in the true lighthouse spirit, a shining little light, so to speak, on the amateur radio community. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Welcome to this side of the mic, Kevin. One amateur radio group in a rural part of the UK has been struggling to find creative ways to stay alive. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
The club in the small town of Workington, Cumbria, announced on its website that all meetings at the Helena Thompson Museum have been cancelled until September, but the September meeting will indeed go ahead to talk about the club's future. The club website noted that a real action plan is needed in order to survive and build membership, or the club may ultimately face closing down. Alex Hill, G7KSE, told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email that the club had enjoyed a strong record over the years in training new hams and had had great success with the expeditions, special events and contesting. He noted, however, that the membership has been ageing and the club is now challenged over ways to attract an infusion of new amateurs to the club, which is in the Western Lake District. Alex said one option being explored is outreach to the Maker Movement and Code Clubs as a way of boosting membership, as the club itself noted on a webpage about its future. At this stage, no idea is a bad one. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including WFBT, Wilmington's Big Talker in Wilmington, North Carolina, on Saturday and Sunday, starting at 8:30 a.m. The world has been watching as a ham from the U.S. navigates a flight in tribute to Amelia Earhart's final trip 80 years ago. At Newsline's production time, he was getting ready to depart Australia, where we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Texas radio amateur Brian Lloyd, WB6RQN, continues his flight along Amelia Earhart's path and, as Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, he was preparing to leave us here in Australia for the next leg of his journey. His arrival here July 1, however, brought some welcome refueling for not only the plane, but Brian himself, and an eyeball QSO with Stewie, VK8NSB. The Australian amateur had contacted the pilot on 20 metres and via satellite while he was still en route from Indonesia and met him on arrival. Stewie didn't just greet him and provide overnight hospitality, but at departure time from Darwin, he was there to help refuel and see the aircraft off, adding a sticker of the Australian flag to the plane's wing. Other amateur radio contacts followed as Brian took to the air en route to Ayers Rock, Uluru. Brian's final stop in Australia was to be in Sydney, and then he was off to Auckland, New Zealand, followed by a flyover of Howland Island. His plan was to drop a memorial wreath into the water there near the spot where Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared in 1937. As he continues his journey to Hawaii and beyond, be listening on SSB 14.210, 14.346, 18.117, or 7.130 MHz. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
For volunteers who were testing equipment in Germany recently for next year's World Radio Sport Championship event, it was a dry run. Well, not really quite so dry thanks to the weather. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP.
The WRTC Test and Training Days 2017, between the 23rd and 25th of June, brought together more than 100 volunteers from all over Germany to the Hessen-Wittenberg region to set up portable stations exactly as will be used next year. The Thursday before the test brought devastating rainstorms to the area, but this did not stop the training of the antenna teams at the main campsite in Prettin on Friday. There were many new enthusiastic contesters between the ages of 20 and 80 who took part in the weekend alongside some well-known faces from the test day in 2016. Saturday was the main construction day, where the wind made the antenna erection somewhat more difficult, but apart from that, the weather was sunny and dry. Concentrated work was called for to ensure that all parts were correctly installed, and after many hours of construction work, radio operation and exchange of experiences followed. Lessons learned were noted and changes included in planning for next year. The ham spirit shone through, with the enthusiasm ensuring new friendships emerged and many new ideas were born. On Sunday morning, the stations were all dismantled, and by 3 p.m, everything was packed up and sent to the main storage warehouse. Thanks to excellent preparation and the spirit of all participants, the test and training days were a total success. The WRTC team is ready to welcome 63 teams to Germany in 2018. Before that, however, there is still work to be done. More finances are required, and next weekend at Ham Radio Friedrichshafen, the WRTC 2018 team will have both a stand inside the halls and an example portable station set up outside to illustrate what the competitors should expect. The team will be looking for additional volunteers for next year's event, as well as donations from supporters. An additional highlight announced just after the test day is that Honda Power Equipment have come on board as a platinum sponsor of WRTC 2018 and will be supplying EU20i petrol generators for each team in next year's event. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the world of DX, be listening for Eric, KV1J, who's operating from the St. Pierre and Miquelon Islands as FP Stroke, KV1J until July 18th. Listen for him on SSB and RTTY. Send QSLs to the home call. Jeff, ZL3GA, is operating holiday style from Vanuatu in the Pacific until July 13th. He'll be using the call YJ0GA. His logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World and also to Club Log. And be listening for the call sign RI0Z, being used by a team of Russian amateurs in the Komandorsky Islands. The islands on the air reference is AS039. The team's QSL manager is RZ5D. And for this week's final story, we look at a bit of modern innovation. It's always nice when amateur radio can enter a new dimension. As we close out the week's report, we look at a Morse code key that is definitely in that category because it gets all three of its dimensions from a 3D printer. Although that's where the key originates, its real roots are in the imagination of the 14-year-old son of the Texas radio amateur, Joe Delgado, KC5ILR, who developed the key to make his son happy. Joe says on his website that his son wanted something cool and colorful for Morse code, and the 3D printing of the key made him happy. Plus, it sends code. Now, if someone can find a way to 3D print a noise filter to clean up the bands, we got it made. With thanks to Allen Labs, Alex Hill, G7KSE, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the Associated Press, CQ Magazine, the FCC, George Dewar, VY2GF, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Jerry Wright, NK2C, Jim Linton, VK3PC, QRZNow.com, the Rockford Register Star, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Stuart Birkin, VK8NSB, Workington and District Amateur Radio Club, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights reserved.